Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And this is kind of an extra one here. Our every other week thing has gotten so screwed up that we're doing a podcast this week, and then we have a Stitch Hour show tonight too. So we're doubling up again. The one thing we were going to get away from, but just seemed like we needed to have that. So we're doing it. So join us tonight. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, we'll be stitching and chatting and all the stuff.
Yep. And I assume Jennifer will be with us. Jennifer's getting her house ready to sell and buy a new house. And last communication was she'd torn apart her entire sewing room and it was all getting packed away. So who knows? But I'm sure we can entice her to join us.
Right. She might need the break from the stress of moving her stitching studio.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going through that throw away everything, pack it up process. Yuck.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Oh, not fun. Not fun. Now, this is what makes me nervous. Cindy is in the midst of doing that.
Right.
You did it not that long ago. Jennifer's doing it. I'm like, oh, am I next?
You're next.
This is scary. That's like, no. Not me.
I didn't think about that, but yep, that's three of us. Yep, three of us in 2 years. So, buckle up.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Oh, man. Yep. Not again. The kids are going to have to clean out this house. Yep.
Yeah.
Done. That's it.
I'm not looking forward to when I do have to move out of this and all the stuff. I'm looking around and I'm like, all this.
What do the Swedish call that when you clean out a house? Death. They have some death clean out or.
Okay. Swedish death clean. They don't do it. You do it while you're alive.
Right.
Right.
So death cleaning is what it is. Okay.
Right. I have a friend who has a Swedish heritage and she's been doing that, doing Swedish death cleaning. She'll just like, she says, you know, you got to think of it as you're not passing it on to your kids. And she only has one son and one daughter, and they really don't want her stuff. She's very crafty. And,
okay.
And she's like, I just need to get rid of this because who wants my old like art journals? You know, no one wants those. No one wants to see them. And so she just has been disposing of them.
So the whole idea then is to go through your house to eliminate everything that is not going to get passed on.
Pretty much, you know, things that you're not using. I went and looked through my laundry room closet and I'm like, I have stuff in here and why do I have it?
Yeah.
And so I need to pull some of it out and just take it to Goodwill. Just move it out because no one wants it. And they're going to have to get rid of it anyway. I might as well clear out some of those cabinets and clear some space.
Right. Okay, I just wrote down to put in the notes for the show what we talked about, Swedish death cleaning. So that's going to be that'll be one of the items we talked about.
Yeah, Swedish death cleaning. People are like, oh, you guys are a little odd.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's and see, that's the thing when I don't want to dwell on this, but when we moved, you know, we were so proud of ourselves because we got rid of so much stuff and already I see it creeping back up and
it's easy to do. Yeah. It's easy to do. I think, you know, you see something, you think, oh, that's cool. Or I like it but that's the good thing right now. We have a year of not buying anything. And how have you managed? How have you managed?
I'm 100% successful. 7 days in. Yep.
Excellent.
Haven't even been tempted. Nope.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I've been tempted, but that's goes with the course, you know. But I thought, you know, if we stitched just from our stash from our year, we could start something new every month and not make a dent in our stash.
Yeah, probably every week.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, come on, let's be realistic. Every week, yeah, we could start something. Yeah.
Yeah, but then I'd go crazy because I would hate all those starts. That's way too many starts for me.
Yeah. No, I'm a week in. I'm good. Not anything. Well, I got the Jane Turner stuff from Sassy Jack Stitchery. And so getting ready to cut the linen for that and edge it and iron it. And no, I haven't been tempted at all to buy anything. I've been feeling pretty good about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not me. I mean, I've been tempted, but, you know.
You've resisted. No, I know you've sent me a couple of texts of things you're tempted with. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But and some of that was before the
right.
The deadline. But I was like, you know what? I don't know. Just look away. Just look away. It's okay.
Yeah, I had one thing I was going to buy. I forget what it was now. And that's key too. But I was going to buy it before midnight on the 31st. And then I thought, no, I'm not. No, I'm not even going to do that. And right. And see, now I can't remember what it was. So that tells you how important it was. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and I didn't send you this, but I heard that the Millennial Frames guy has got a quicker turnaround now. And I've thought about getting another set of those.
Oh, really? The guy that does the Millennial scroll bars, really? He's turning things around faster?
Yes. And I can't remember. It was on Facebook, I'm sure, but I don't remember which group I saw it in. And I thought, okay, but it was after June 1st, A. And I was like, well, you're just going to have to wait. but that's tempting because those are nice.
See, that's see, this is where the trouble starts because I could use another set of scroll bars.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't purchased them because it is such a hassle to get them. You know,
from what I understand, he's hired an assistant is what they've said. So if someone confirms that for us, we'd be grateful. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's one of those things. They are so nice. They do hold things so tightly. And I have other scroll bars that I use, but they're just not as good.
No, I have other scroll bars. I hate them.
Yeah.
And these,
those are wonderful.
So could that be an exception?
As I laugh hysterically.
Tim, what is it? Tim Buckheim or something like that. He's going right now. He's going, I knew they wouldn't make it a month. I knew it.
I think we ought to wait and, you know, use what we have. But yeah, that is very tempting.
Yeah. Cause I was looking at, you know, could, if you had somebody with a lathe, could you make your own?
No, my boy. Well, you could. I mean, but my boys looked into it. I have a brother-in-law who was, a die cutter. So he has wood lathes. I mean, he makes things. He can make things. And they're like, Mom, for the price these are selling at, you just ought to buy one because they thought it would be too much work to make that, the screw thing. The mechanism was more difficult than they were willing to try.
Yeah. The upright, the sides. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so, you know, those, and they are nice. They're just nicely made, you know, so you'd hit have someone who'd want to have to play with that design.
Yeah, I just need the horizontal bars.
Oh, well, that wouldn't be hard then.
Because I have a set of long and a set of short side things.
Oh.
So I'm okay on that.
But you only have one set of bars?
No, I have two sets of horizontal bars.
Okay, but the vertical.
It's the sides with the screw things. I have two sets of those, and then I have two sets of the actual scroll bars that you put the linen on. But I could use a third set easily.
Oh, okay.
Because I have two samplers on the one. So, like, to do Jane Turner, I'm going to have to take one off.
Yes. Okay. I understand. I understand. And that it's not that it's hard to do, but it's just kind of like, yeah, who wants to mess with it?
Right. I just soon not. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, well, I don't know.
I think we ought to wait. I only have one.
Yeah, we got to wait.
So you're ahead of, you're ahead of me on those. Yeah.
We got to wait.
We should wait. We should wait.
It's only been a week.
We got to make it at least a month, right,
yeah.
Tim?
Yeah. We got to at least beat Tim's prediction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is encouraging if, in fact, production is improved there because, I wouldn't mind having another set. No problem. Yeah.
Right. And I think they were worth the wait. If you're willing to wait, they're beautiful. They're well made. They're smooth.
Yep.
You know, no question about it. They are, and there's something you could pass on. You know, they're not going to go bad on you. There's something that, you know.
Right.
Someone else is going to want.
And that's something that, somebody will want. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, see, we do have an out in that gifted items are okay.
Oh.
So if we would get, say, Cindy to gift us, you know, it's like Wimpy. I'll give you whatever it was for a burger today on Tuesday for a burger today. You know, we could gift Cindy back next June 2nd.
I think Cindy's rolling her eyes right now is what I think is happening. She's like, you two are crazy.
Yeah, she's already been rolling her eyes. I can assure you that. Yeah, we're nuts. Yeah. All right, got to hold off. It's only been a week. Got to hold off.
It's only been a week. Got to hold off. Unless we, but I do have a birthday coming up.
Now see?
In July.
Now see, Max, you know.
Yeah.
What do I get Beth for her birthday? Well,
let me tell you.
Gifting is fine. Yep.
Yeah, gifting's good. Gifting's good.
Oh, man. Already trying to manipulate the rules. Okay.
That's right. That's right. We got to.
Let's see. All right. So far in the show, Swedish death cleaning and cheating our own rules.
That's right.
We're flying. This is good. Yep. This is really good, yeah. Okay, well, there you have it. All right, so Stitch Hour tonight, Sunday's guest, and I'm not going to want to miss this one, Jen Weber of Clever Bunny Studio, Tamari.
Oh,
amazing, yeah. Tamari. Mm-hmm.
They were beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I looked at the images of her stuff, and I'm looking forward to listening to that one. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
And then she's going to be on the Stitch Hour too, right?
Right. Next Wednesday. So we'll have back-to-back Stitch Hours, and next Wednesday, Jen Weber is going to join us. And I think I said it in one of the shows that we're just going to let Jennifer and Jen talk about Tamari and watch them. We're just going to watch them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sunday's show, you want to listen. And then the 14th, the Stitch Hour, 8:00 Eastern time, Jen will be our guest. And so then she'll show us her Tamari work and talk about it, and we'll just ogle stuff. So
yeah, that's one technique I've never tried.
It's I'll tell you, it's really tempting to give it a whirl. I think the prep work looks time consuming but really simple, though I'm sure there's some skill to it. But then when it goes to actually creating the things, I'm sure that gets challenging. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I know because you have to have things spaced evenly, I'm not good at eyeballing. I don't, my spatial distancing isn't good. So that's what always kind of like, mine is going to come out wonky no matter what. So it's like, why bother, you know? And as I tell people, I really don't need something else that I like to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have enough techniques that I enjoy, that I love. And so I'll just admire those from afar. But they are tempting because I do, as my friends all know, I love circles and I love spheres. There's something about that shape that I love. So seeing them, I follow someone else who dyes threads, and she occasionally will show an image of a tamari ball, and they're just so gorgeous.
Yep.
But I'm like, oh, no.
Yep. Well, every time we see Jennifer's, it's like, holy smokes, to be able to do that. Oh, man.
I know.
Yeah.
Hers, the one that has, that's yellow, the big one, but the, is it got sunflowers all over it?
Yeah.
Or just different? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one for me. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of them, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. If you ever don't want that one, Jennifer, I have a home for it.
And it would be a gift, so it would be within the rules, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a gift. It's a gift. And Jennifer sits over my dead body.
Yeah, I don't think that's going anywhere. No, I don't think so.
Mm-mm. No. She's like, yeah, no way. No way.
Dream on, lady.
Make your own.
Yeah, no, not going anywhere. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No. So, so tomorrow, Sunday, and next Wednesday, don't miss it. And Jen, that was terrific talking with her, but, don't miss it. Really good stuff. Even if, you know, like so many things, even if you're never going to make a tamari ball, just to admire the art is worth the time. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Learn something new.
Yep.
It's always fun.
Yep. So, okay, so I'm going to have to take, now that we can't cheat the rules, I'm going to have to take a sampler off of my scroll bars to do Jane Turner.
And what fabric are you using for Jane?
Russian tea cake.
Okay, is that what, I know it has a slight tint to it. Is it slight gray? I can't remember. Is it slight pink? Or do you know?
You're asking yes. me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hang on just a second. There's some dead air space for you.
There you go.
Yeah, I had it. Russian tea cake, 37 count. Mm. You know, is there a hint of green in this?
Yeah, I mean, there's something. It's got a slight tint to it.
Yeah, it's definitely an off-white. I mean, I'm the worst person, and if it's green, I'm even worse. But I want to say there's just a hint of green.
Okay. Well, I'm really curious because I've got mine is. I found a piece of antique, I think mine is 40 count. Now I don't know. Did I write it down somewhere? Of course not. I think it's antique white, though. And mine are already on. I don't want to move around too much. You guys will hear terrible noises. But I think mine are already on my bars. Mine's an antique white. It's not a bright white. And I'm kind of looking forward to that, to using the antique white and then using Vicki Clayton silks on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because now I've got, a Varissois, I think, or Varissois from Kim. Yeah, I want to, I put a white piece of paper up there. I want to say that there might be a little green. It's definitely an off-white, a little green tint to it. But it's the one I did... Hannah Longstreth did that on Russian tea cake, and that worked out great.
Yeah, and I think it's a nice fabric. I mean, that's nice to stitch on.
Oh, it's a nice heavy linen. Yeah, I got a fat half from Kim.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that means I got some plenty extra later. Yeah,
and here's the thing, though. I just realized I need a number 8 pearl cotton.
Oh.
9 to 31. Oh, that's a blue. I think I've got that in my stash. If I have number 8 is the question.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll have to look through my stuff.
Mine's over on the table there. I can't tell. The light isn't on over there. So.
Well, and that's what I'm looking at the pattern. So 931 is technically the color.
Okay.
But that's not until we get to the middle of the sampler. So yeah. I'm not worried about it right now.
Right.
If I get all the way down to that girl before next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to, I hope this weekend I'm going to cut the fabric and edge it and then go through my process of getting the creases out.
Okay, so here's my question for you, because I didn't do this, and I'm wondering if, and she doesn't say to in the instructions. Are you going to mark the center line and mark the two edges?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'll do what I normally do, which is to mark the center and then top left. Yep.
So you're not going to do the... Okay, but are you going to do a running stitch down the edges then?
I hadn't decided, but I think I am. I think I'm going to try and do more than just my usual tie a little knot, you know, mm-hmm. at each of those spots, because it sure seems to help people.
I'm thinking, because this is such a long piece, and it's complicated. It's not going to be an easy stitch. That especially the center one would be nice to have.
Yeah.
Although the center is not marked on the pattern that I can see.
Yeah, these are older style patterns too, which is why I think I'm going to mark up my I'm going to do some basting on my linen just to help me along here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. I got to get over to FedEx or something and make copies of the chart too, because we talked about that.
Right.
I need some copies that you can blow up and mark up, because this is going to take some. There's going to be some pencil work with this thing just to keep track
right.
of where you're at. Yeah.
Right.
I got to do that.
Yeah, and I'm anxious to start this. I'm ready to. To pull out threads and needle and get started on that first,
yeah,
on that first band.
Me too. Yeah. I'm going to, like Sarah Parr, I haven't worked on that now in many days, and I'm just going to roll that up and put it away. And I want to go all in on this Jane Turner. It looks like fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
A nice challenge. Yep. So,
lots of fun little satin stitch in here on this first band. It's
right.
kind of fun to try to get those tiny little satin stitches in nice.
Yeah, it seems like it's a good warm up. The first couple bands are a good warm up before you really get into the meat of things. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we should, you know, for people who might wonder. all right, we're starting from scratch on this. So I've got a piece of linen that's been folded, it's cut, folded. And so our process for getting ready to do a sampler, it doesn't matter, sampler or anything else, but a piece of cross stitch on linen. So what do you do for your linen? How do you prep your linen?
Well, if it has a bunch of wrinkles in it, then I think this was Jen Aiden Christie suggests, you know, taking it and running, you know, I do the drop of Dawn and soak it in there, and then I run it under water, you know, holding it. Then I roll it in the towel and do the Gary stomp. And then I don't let it dry. I take it immediately downstairs and I iron it and see if I get all the wrinkles out. If that doesn't work and it's still, and I don't like if there's a line crease, then I go and do the process again. If I can't get that, like there might be something in there that's really hard creased, I'll do that again.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've cut it and serged the edges already though, because I do that first before I wash it. But yeah, that's what I do to start.
Yeah, that's my process. Yeah, I'll cut it and then zigzag it on the machine, mm-hmm. so all the edges are tied down, and then tepid water and just a small drop of Dawn in tepid water, and then I put it in there and I let it soak for a while. A couple hours or so, then pull it out, then rinse it twice in the same tepid water, because you don't want hot water.
No.
Because you'll shrink it. Then roll it up in a towel. To me, that's so key. Roll it up, and boy, you know, like, I have a bunch of towels I use for bikes that are towels that you can wipe grease with or whatever. And make sure it's a towel that is not going to transfer any color or anything. If you've got a white cotton towel, that's key. But, yeah, you want to make sure. And then, yeah, roll it up and then actually stand on it. I mean, yeah, you talk about the Gary Stomp. Yeah, roll it up in a towel and stand on it and just go back and forth on it, literally on the floor standing on it. To get the water out. Yeah, and then I iron it dry. I don't dry it first. I steam iron it dry, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then like, it's on my frame right now, so I'm going to measure and find the center, and that'll be the first line I do. And then I'll count out using counting pins and find the edges,
yeah,
the two edges that I need. Because on a band sampler, and especially these little girls, some of them are going to be further out than others. And I've stitched along and like, oh, I've gone too far and had to rip out on right. band samplers. And you're like, so at least if you know your edge, then you won't make that mistake.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because nice it's real easy with a band sampler. You get into a rhythm, and the next thing you know, you're 10 stitches beyond the edge because you were just enjoying stitching. Yeah.
Right. And I know some people don't like it. Like, I can see, I can't, which band is this? I don't think she has them. Well, she does have them numbered. I've got my blown up pattern. One of the patterns isn't an exact repeat. And for some people, that lack of symmetry bothers them. So if you know that bothers you, you're just going to have to make that band a little longer so you get the full motif.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that
gives you that option.
Right. And in some, where I have made copies of charts, I have taped, like, where there's an overlap, I will trim off the overlap part and I have taped them together so that I don't have to deal with that gray area overlap thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tape them together. I'll do anything to simplify dealing with the charts. Blow them up. Yeah. Blow them up, tape them together, cut out sections, whatever it takes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I made the mistake. I only made one copy blown up. So now I've been like, you know what? That was not smart. I need to go back and make another couple of copies, because I can tell right now that I'm going to be marking on this one a lot. And I don't want to mark the original pattern.
No.
And obviously I'm not giving it away or selling it or anything like that. This is just for me, so I can, you know, cut this band out, the first band, and have it sitting there so I'm not going back and forth. You know, cut out a small section so I know what I'm doing. It gives me that opportunity to do that. If I have, I think you're going to need a couple of copies of it. It's just right. complicated enough.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's okay for your own purposes. It's okay to make copies, enlarge, do whatever. Just when you're done, throw that stuff away.
Right.
You know, don't pass it on. Just throw it away. But you're right, to make notes. I'm going to be able to want to make notes on this thing. You need some working copies. I don't like working on the original. Never have. I don't like marking it up, because I always want to be able to go back to ground zero if I have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and yeah, and especially the newer patterns, sometimes the they're on that slick paper, and then you can't mark on it anyway. So, right. It, you know, you might as well make a copy so you can write on the silly thing.
Yep. So. Yeah. No. Make copies. You know, and something I've do a lot is I will make a copy and then cut out sections. And then use a needle minder to hold that so it's underneath my magnifier. You know, so just a section or a complete pattern of a band. And then I don't have to look over at a chart. I can just look through my magnifier while I'm stitching and see that, see the chart. And yeah, I have, like on these other samplers, I mean, I have all kinds of little pieces. And then when I'm done with that band or that motif or whatever, I just throw them away. And I like having that under the magnifier. Then I'm not looking back and forth and refining my spot or anything. It goes faster.
Right. And I have been not doing that. And I've been thinking, you know, this is, and then losing my spot and thinking, why don't I just go and make a copy of this silly thing? So I know where I am.
Yep.
You know, it would make life so much easier.
Because every time you look at it away from your work to a chart and come back, then you got to find where you're at, your spot. You waste so much time. Just have it right there under the magnifier in the light, and then you can just keep going. It's just more efficient. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're less likely to make a mistake. At least that's the theory, right?
That's what they say. That's what they say. Yep.
So you're not doing reverse stitching, which I don't like to do.
Right. So now, all right. So you're going to do some color changing, and you're using what's the silk again?
It's a Vicki Clayton's hand dyed silk, fibers.
Oh yes. Okay.
I think it's her official name. And I'm thinking of I don't know what that pink is that's on the first band. It might be a peach or something.
Uh-huh.
I'm not fond of it. So I probably will brighten that up to start with. It's just a little too not me. I need a little brighter. I need a little bit brighter. I'm just looking to see what color that is. It's a light peach.
Okay.
And so I'll probably start there. Start by, you know, I'll pull the colors out. I'll look at them and see how I like it, how they look together. I mean, I love the blue, but I think I just need to change it a little bit. And I don't like the color at least on the image, of the lady's dress.
Uh-huh.
That's gotta go. So I'll probably change that. Make her pink or something. I like pink. I like pink.
Yeah.
And I think it'll work. I still think it would work. I still think if I change that, it would still look fine no matter what I did.
Yeah.
But some of the colors I do love, like the blue is just gorgeous on here.
Yeah,
and I like the yellows and greens.
Yeah, Kim sent me, there were a couple of instances where she was questioning whether the prescribed thread would have enough contrast with the background. So she sent me some alternatives in a couple of instances. I haven't sat down and evaluated them, but she sent me a couple of alternatives so that I wouldn't have to source thread on the fly. And so that was really nice of her to say, hey, you know, maybe one of these colors is better. So at least have a starting point. So that was really nice of her to do that.
And I've done this before on band samplers. I'll put all the threads that I think I'm going to use together and just pull as I go. Because that's what the little girls did. They, you know, yeah, maybe they had a color palette they were using, but you know, they just played with the colors just like we,
right,
a coloring pencil or something.
Yeah.
But
well, and I think that's band samplers offer that luxury that maybe other designs don't, is changing color is really pretty easy because each band is defined clearly. And so you know, if you change a color on something, as long as it isn't gross with what's above and below it, yeah, you can change colors, and it's, yeah, it's pretty easy. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found, you know, like, there's the satin stitches when you change some of those, it, you have to be a little careful because it might turn out too bright, at least because I tend to change things to make them brighter, mm-hmm. but I have to be a little more careful about that to make sure it's like not overwhelming the pattern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it does.
One band that stands out, and that's all you can look at. Yeah.
Right. Right. And even because of the satin stitch, it's the color's more dense.
Right.
And I have to remind myself of that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with this. This is going to be so much fun.
And see, and the, you know, that's the other part of it. Yeah, what looks good as skeins laying on the ground cloth, when you stitch it, like you said, a satin stitch, that's a big block of color. Yeah, that may be more than you want. Yeah, so you know, change on the fly and adjust.
Right.
Yep.
Right, and you have to be willing to do that and willing to rip. I always get people who are like, oh, you're ripping that out. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like it. You know, yeah, this is the third time I'm ripping it, but I don't care because I really don't like this.
Yep. Yep.
I'm not going to be happy with it, so I might as well change it.
Yep. So that, yeah, so we got the process. So I got to make copies, got to get the linen ready. And one of my favorite tricks, I've shared this before, but one of my favorite tricks for storing, once you get linen ready for something, if you're not going to stitch on it right away, like I have instances where I've had two or three projects that I wanted to do, and all right, I'm going to go ahead and get the linen ready for the one I want to do, but I have these other two. I might as well get the linen ready for all of them just while you're at it, you know?
Right.
I buy PVC pipe, just go to Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever and buy a 1-inch PVC pipe. And they have a lot of it. They'll have the different sizes cut in 2-foot lengths, 2 or 3-foot lengths. So you can just buy those, or you can just buy a length. I mean, they'll cut it for you. That's how I store. If I've gotten all the wrinkles out of a piece of linen, then I'll wrap it on PVC pipe, and I use Velcro straps to hold it down, and then that stores it without it getting wrinkled again or creased. And then that's easy to store away in a plastic bag on a shelf or something. That's one of my favorite tricks, is to just wrap it around PVC pipe, because clean that pipe thoroughly with alcohol. I use alcohol to make sure that there's no crud on it, and then store it and don't seal it up, because there's a lot of plastics there. You want it to be able to evaporate out. But then when you're ready to use it, even if it's a year from now, then you've got a piece of linen that's all wrinkle free and ready to go. And rather than folding it up.
Yeah. And I keep thinking, oh, I should be more organized and take my linens and do that. So they're, and I'm like, yeah, no, because I don't like that process. I don't like setting up. I just don't. And I think it stops me from starting new projects, believe it or not, because I'm like, oh, I've got to go and set this up. Well, maybe I'll just work on something that's already started. So I don't know why.
That's interesting. I rather enjoy that whole process of getting it ready. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Oh no. 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 I don't. I'd rather just start something. If someone had set it up for me, and I could just go, then that makes me happy. That would make me happy. But I haven't found anyone willing to do that yet. So no. You know, it's just me.
Yeah, I'm not volunteering. No, got my own. To do. Sorry.
Yeah, and that's what most people. You know, like, no, do your own stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Do it yourself.
But yeah, that's how I store. And that's another thing. If you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever, the section where they have the Velcro, they sell rolls of Velcro straps. They're perforated together. And I don't know, they're probably 6 inches long or so. They're made for tying up cords. But you can get a roll like of 100 of them for next to nothing. And I buy those and use those to wrap around all manner of stitching things. And they're that really small Velcro, not the big hairy stuff, but the micro Velcro. I don't even know what it's called. But very handy for like wrapping around linen that's on tubes or any number of things. I use that a lot. And it's just handy to have around, yeah.
Okay, so what are you going to do? Okay, so you had to take something off.
Right.
One of your bars. What are you going to do with the piece you're taking off that you're not finished with yet?
Put it on PVC pipe.
So you have a PVC pipe that's for incomplete projects.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll put it on a piece of pipe. I've got an 8-foot length that's in the garage just specifically for that. So I'll just cut off whatever width I need if I don't already have one. And then a partially finished piece that I don't want to fold because I don't want to then add wrinkles or creases. That goes on pipe, gets wrapped with those Velcro straps. And I always put it on so that the stitched part is on the inside so that what's on the outside is unstitched linen. And then put it in a plastic bag, and I don't seal up the bag. I just put it in there to keep dust and stuff off of it and put it on a shelf. Yeah.
All right. That's good. Yeah. I was just wondering because, I remember I used to put them on tubes of, paper towel tubes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, that's bad, because that's got to leach out eventually.
Right. Acid content in those things is quite high. Yeah.
Right. And so I stopped doing that. And it's like, now what do you do with them? So they just sit on the scroll frames waiting for me to go back to them. I'm like, that's a waste of scroll frame space.
I buy a 6-foot or 8-foot length of pipe and just cut it and clean it. And make sure there's no spiders in the inside, You gotta watch that. But then, and just put it away. And then when I'm ready to work on it, then I don't have this piece that's creased or anything. And I put it on the scroll bars and go right back to work. Yeah.
Yep. It's worth, I'm guessing that's worth the extra effort to do that. Because then you're right. You can just pull out your piece and put it back on the scroll bars. And you don't have to.
Right.
Mess with ironing it and all that.
Right. And so. I wrap it on the PVC, I wrap it somewhat loose so that, I don't have stitches making impressions on the layer over the top of it or, I don't make it really, really tight. I just make it, firm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm just wondering, I'm just thinking aloud here. I'm wondering if, because, the PVC, of course, will leach a little bit of plastic out. What if you wrap that in like a piece of muslin or something and then wrap your stuff around it?
Yeah.
So it's not touching that PVC pipe.
Yeah, you could do that or acid-free tissue paper. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Usually when I do those, I get back to it in a reasonable amount of time, like less than a year or so. So I don't worry too much about it. But yeah, there is a plasticizer that's going to leach out. That's why I never seal up the bags I store them in, leave them completely open. I'm sensitive to that. But wrapping the pipe in acid-free paper or muslin or something, would probably be one more step you could do to just protect your piece. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, we spend so much time on our pieces. And then if we put them away for whatever reason, it'd be nice not for them to have issues.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yuck.
Yep. Yeah. So, I just put them away. The only thing I don't have worked out is the threads. So I'll have threads on, thread drops or in floss away bags on a ring. And then I'll put a tag on that says what project it's for. And I tend to, for samplers, I tend to keep those threads all together. I don't put them back into the regular circulation so that, you know, when I go to work on it, I can pull out that ring of threads and know that I have everything that goes with that sampler.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I put them sometimes in the, like if I'm working on a project that I'm, that's got a lot of threads, like especially needlepoint, I'll put it in like a little plastic shoebox. If I'm changing colors and I have a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't put the lid on it tight. I just kind of lightly right. cover it. So that yeah. way it's getting a little air circulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, well, and that's important. Don't seal these things up. Like if floss away bags, I zip lock them about 2/3 of the way and leave one end or the other unsealed just so some air can get in and out. Because we had, long time ago, we had a conservator person, and that was where I learned from her. She said that storing stuff in plastic is fine as long as you don't seal it up. That's when you start to introduce trouble. But if air can get in and out to some degree, then you'll be fine. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I just have always followed that. But, yeah, everything is. And yeah, I should probably, like my tackle boxes that have all my DMC floss, I should probably have a practice of every couple of months opening the lids and letting those air out. I probably should do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look through your stash.
Yeah.
And give an excuse to look through everything.
Right. Yeah. Just kind of sit back one day, let it all air mm-hmm. out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, all right. So we're, coming up here underway. Yeah. It's going to be a good challenge. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And I think I was reading an article about, challenges about, how do you improve your art? And when that was one of the things that was suggested that you need to do something that's just a little challenging. And I thought, am I doing anything challenging? And I thought, well, I'm getting ready to do Jane Turner. She's going to be a challenge.
That'll do it. Yep. Yep. So. Yep. And that, you know, that's another thing. Edna Sanabia sent us some questions, topics to talk about. And one of the questions she sent is why so many samplers got produced in cross stitch. Why not stem stitch or some other stitch? And but now, you know, Jane Turner is one of several that we've now purchased from the sampler that are not pure cross stitch pieces.
Right.
There's all kinds of stitches. And I wrote to Barbara Hudson, and she was busy. And I asked her that question to get some input from an expert, because you know, there's few people more expert than Barbara Hudson, Queenstown right. Sampler Designs. And she wrote back a quick answer that, you know, why everything is so cross stitch. Her quick answer was, it depends on the teacher. Which I thought was interesting. And then she was off. She was not home. And she said she would come back to us with a more thorough answer when she had a chance. But so that says to me, and the sampler is a perfect example, that there's a world of samplers that are not pure cross stitch.
Right. I think I've heard designers say that to reproduce the ones that are not just cross stitch are more difficult. And right now people are stitching more cross stitch. That's what they tend to do. But I never thought about it being the teachers. It just depended on the person who was teaching the girl.
Yeah.
Is that what she meant?
That's what she meant. Yeah, it depends on who the teachers were, whether it was cross stitch or a mix or a whole bunch of other stitches. Yeah. That was the teacher. So I'm interested in the deeper answer to that. Because they're, you know, just about, I'd say, 90% of the samplers we see are pure cross stitch.
Right.
So is that that raises the question, is that a market-driven thing that what mm-hmm. sells are cross-stitch pieces, because that's what people want to do, is just make X's. And then we already know that if there's back-stitching, people don't want anything to do with that. So, you know, right. I wonder if that's more of a market thing. And then, you know, if you took that factor out, how many more samplers are available that have these more complex stitches to them?
Right. Well, and I remember Kim showed us some that she has in her collection right. that were more than just, and she said, and I remember her saying that it was, they were just hard to reproduce too, because the teacher would draw the lines on, you know, maybe so that the student would just do the chain stitch or do the whatever. But now who wants to, no one's going to do that for hundreds of kits, you know?
yeah.
Right. Right. And because then it would also have cross stitch on it. So you'd have the cross stitch band stuff, and then you'd have this image that had satin stitch or whatever, more complicated things that were probably line drawn on there that people, and then they just stitched in the image. I don't know.
Yeah. It makes me wonder just how much of it is marketing, like I said, and how much of it is, and if there was a market for charts like Jane Turner, would we then see a whole lot more of those?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
And maybe people don't know that they're out there or know that they can do this. I think some people, you know, it's the fear factor, you know, can I really stitch this? Because it is this one, Jane Turner is marked for very advanced stitchers. It's not a beginner one.
Right.
But, you know, if you're willing to take the challenge, you know, you could probably do it. You just have to, especially if you had I think what's nice is having a group just now. You stitch by yourself, but it's nice to have someone to bounce ideas off of and to talk to about, you know, hey, I don't understand this. What am I supposed to do here? And that can be done, you know, Facebook has had a lot of those groups where, you know, you can say, hey, this doesn't make sense. Can you explain this to me?
But
I need the challenge. I need the challenge of something new and just a little bit of difficulty. It kind of makes you stretch a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I like about it too. Yeah. I don't know, you know, or is the cross stitch samplers, is that an American thing? You know, Americans just want to make X's, you know, or if you get in other parts of the country, do they start to look at other types? Because you can't say that by any stretch that these more complex stitches are new, because you know, you look back through the history of needlework in general, you know, there's complex stitches all over the place.
Right.
And for many of them, that was the norm. So it's not new. I mean, you look back at some of that older stuff, not a lot of it is just pure cross stitch. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I right now in my mind, it's a market driven thing. It's what sells. And so that's what gets reproduced.
Right. And sometimes I look at some of those, the cross stitch samplers that are being reproduced, and I think you could make that a satin stitch. You could, you know, that could be a Smyrna cross. That could be an Algerian. I mean, you could make it a more difficult sampler, if you wanted to, you know, it lends itself to that, but this one's definitely complicated. I'm looking at this gal with her dress and then the two trees of life next to her. And I'm thinking,
that's sitting right there in the middle of Jane Turner is that woman with the dress, and in the chart, that's just an outline. There's no way you can chart the stitch for that. It just fill it in. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just away you go.
Yeah. Sort it out. Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll be interested to hear what Barbara has to say when she has a chance to give us some more details. But, yeah, thanks, Edna, for that question, because I know it got me thinking. And then depends on the teacher. So that means there were some teachers out there that were teaching at a different level of needlework. And, you know, sometimes I just want to go back in time and, all right, who was doing that? Were those advanced girls? Were there girls trying to get good enough, if I can use that phrase, to be able to work with that teacher? You know what I mean?
Right, right. And or was it wealth driven? You know,
yeah.
You started maybe with a simple cross stitch, but you had enough money to do another sampler. Because remember, you know, the linen, the silks, these all, and the teacher, they all cost money. And how much do you educate girls in that era? You know,
yeah.
I mean, how much money are you willing to spend on them? And because it has to do with, you know, how women were viewed at the time and how much money you were willing to spend on their education. So, you know, I'm guessing Jane Turner, probably her parents had a little bit more money, because this is, as it says in the chart, you know, she would have had to make other samplers before she made this one. This is much more advanced.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And we forget all of that. The cost and the value of any piece of cloth or any thread relative to us who buy it and throw it away and cut it and do whatever with it and collect it by the boatloads. And in back in those days, that was not, that luxury wasn't there.
Right.
Unless you were, you know, very well off. Mm-hmm. And yet that was the way that young ladies developed a skill that made them valuable as wives, sadly, or even in the work world, was needlework. And we forget all that. We forget how women were basically treated as second-class citizens in so many ways. And, yeah, how much money are you willing to invest in your daughter as opposed to your son in terms of education? And vast difference, yeah.
Right, right. And that would make a difference in what kind of samplers were coming out too, you know. All right. The marking samplers that are out there, you know, they were very practical. You needed to mark your linens.
Yeah.
And if you had a servant, if you were going to be employed as a servant, you needed to be able to prove you could do these stitches.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
just interesting. Just in different times. But yeah, I'd be curious to know how many people are interested in something more than just cross stitch. And I love doing cross stitch, but every now and then I need a little bit more of a challenge and kind of curious.
Yeah.
How many people are interested in doing something else, doing on linen, doing a different counted design?
Yeah. Yeah. Not moving to painted canvas needlepoint or counted canvas needlepoint to get the more complex stitches, but want to do it on linen in the sampler environment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many are there? I mean, obviously the sampler, Marguerite has a clientele that supports those kinds of samplers. Are people just simply not aware? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And I do think there's the fear factor too. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you do run into people who are like, oh, I can't do that. I can just make X's. I'm like, well, actually, you could do this.
Yeah, you could. Yep.
You could. You know, just a little help along the tougher areas.
Yep.
So
it's just thread. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Interesting little world. So we'll hear, I'm sure, much more from Barbara. Probably end up just doing a show with her because.
Yeah, that's, you know, a great idea.
Easier. Yeah. So, all right, we're going to call it right there. Join us tonight for some Stitch and Chat, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the YouTube channel. And Sunday is Jen Weber of the Clever Bunny Studio and Tamari. And then now next Wednesday, there will not be a podcast like this, but we will have another Stitch Hour, and Jen Weber will be our guest. So join us for that. And this week, do some Swedish death cleaning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.